The Council of Great Lakes Governors met this past weekend on Mackinac Island. The group talked of economic cooperation and harmonizing plans for protecting the largest body of fresh water on the Earth's surface. The discussions were mostly nice, but there were some disagreements, especially when it came to dealing with invasive species. Michigan Public Radio's Rick Pluta explains.
The governor's view was of the rainy and overcast Straits of Mackinac as they took horse-drawn carriages to the island's historic Grand Hotel. The governors of Michigan, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Indiana showed up, as well as the premier of the Canadian province of Ontario, and about 150 others representing all eight Great Lakes states, Ontario and Quebec. The governors were greeted by U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, also a former congressman from Illinois.
There is no other place in America that has what's in this region, the Great Lakes. There isn't. You can't think of another place.
The group was told the Great Lakes area is an economic powerhouse at 100 million people and $5.5 trillion in annual economic activity. Its gross domestic product would make it the world's fourth largest regional economy. The governors agreed there's more bringing them together than setting them apart. Not politics, not even the fierce football rivalry between the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers, said Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
When it comes to the Great Lakes and water issues, there really is no party affiliation. There is no issue, by and large, between even those of us in the United States and Canada. It's a shared interest.
But that shared interest can also be a friction point. Talk of economic cooperation turned to environmental questions and continued disagreement on ballast standards, water diversion, and what to do about invasive species, especially the Asian carp. The fish has thoroughly infested the Mississippi River system, and there are fears it will enter the Great Lakes via a shipping canal in Chicago that flows into Lake Michigan. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn, a Democrat, raised some eyebrows when he reversed an earlier position and said it makes sense to physically separate the Mississippi River system and Lake Michigan, just like they were 100 years ago.
Ultimately, I think we have to separate the basins. That's a major, huge public works project for America. I really feel that that is the ultimate solution.
But that's an expensive proposition. Estimates on a project to close and replace the canal range from $4 billion to $9 billion, depending on how it's done. And Indiana Governor Mike Pence, a Republican, says it would disrupt almost $2 billion in economic activity on the canals and rivers in his state that feed into the Chicago waterway.
I believe separating the Great Lakes would cost thousands of Hoosier jobs and cause additional harm to many Hoosiers who manufacture and grow our products.
Pence says he believes it's possible to manage the growth and migration of Asian carp without closing the canal. Chris Kolb of the Michigan Environmental Council supports physically separating the two water systems, and he says Quinn's new position is a breakthrough.
Once you get them saying that's the solution, you then can press forward. I mean, yes, it's not going to happen tomorrow. We wish it would. But the sooner we do it, the sooner we solve the problem. And the threat is huge. And so I think that you get a couple, you get critical mass, it happens.
There's still a lot that would have to happen to separate the two water systems. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is still studying the issue. There's also the question of how to pay for it. The governors say it would be tough for their states to pick up that multi-billion dollar burden. But it also wasn't that long ago that Michigan and some other states were in court trying to force Illinois to close the canal. Now the state's governor says it would be a good idea. For the Michigan Public Radio Network, I'm Rick Pluta on Mackinac Island.
So let's get the scientist's view now on just where things stand with the Asian carp in the Great Lakes. Joining us from Columbia, Missouri, is Dwayne Chapman. He is a research fish biologist with the U.S. Geological Survey. Now, we just heard our Capitol reporter Rick Pluta's story about the possible closure of that Chicago canal. So we wanted to focus our attention on the actual fish in question. How close is the actual Asian carp to the Great Lakes?
There have been three fish caught in the Great Lakes themselves that we know of, three bighead carp in Lake Erie, but none of them since about 2000. So over the last 13 years, we haven't caught any. It doesn't mean they're not there, but we haven't caught any. There has been one fish caught very close to the Great Lakes in the Chicagoland area, in the Chicago area waterway system. Besides those fish, in terms of any substantial populations of Asian carps, you really have to go about 30 or 40 miles from the southern end of Lake Michigan to get into a few fish. So, and they have to get through a barrier.
That electric barrier that was installed.
That's right.
Now, so they did discover some Asian carp DNA beyond that electric barrier, didn't they?
They did, and they found Asian carp DNA above that barrier in the Chicagoland area, and also they found Asian carp DNA in the southern part of Lake Erie, in southwestern Lake Erie. They found both big head and silver carp DNA. And it would be unlikely if we captured them all. I mean, it's just, you know, and these DNA techniques are very, very sensitive. There's no evidence that there's been any recruitment, that is, any spawning or survival of the young in those few big head carp that are present in Lake Erie. There's no evidence of any of that. So that hasn't changed at all in the last 13 years.
So we would say that is good news, however.
However, we've got this, but what's really new is the silver carp DNA. So we found the big head carp DNA, but the silver carp, no one's ever caught a silver carp in Lake Erie, and it's really odd that we're getting silver carp DNA there. So it kind of has everybody scratching their heads. Is this a real thing is this indicative of a real fish? Or is it some other way that the DNA from these fish is getting up to Lake Erie? And that's a really tough question to answer. Some people think that if you're getting any of this DNA that far from known populations, that it's got to be a live fish. Mm-hmm. And other people think, well, we do know that the stuff can be moved around by birds and their feces. And so it's kind of hard to really answer that question at this point. We don't know for sure whether this DNA is coming from silver carp or not. And there are scientists that disagree as to whether this silver carp DNA that's being caught in Lake Erie actually is coming from a live fish or if it's getting there through some other method. Most of the samples that you get from Lake Erie, by the way, are not positive for silver carp DNA, but that's, you know, a little bit like saying that most of the times you go fishing, you don't catch one.
It does feel, Duane, like every couple of months we'll get a new report about Asian carp, and then it seems that the issue sort of fades into the background. Does it feel to you, from where you sit with the U.S. Geological Survey, you're a research fish biologist watching this as a scientist, does it feel like we are not fighting the invasion of the species with enough energy and sense of timeliness?
From my standpoint, I mean, I've been here all weekend, and I've probably put in 40 hours over the weekend here at the lab, so we're fighting it with everything we can. So,
from the policy level, though, and the political level?
That's something that I can't really comment on. It's just not within my purview. I mean, I look at this from a biological standpoint, and, you know, when it comes down to whether or not we're fighting it hard enough, you know, that's really a societal question of how do you divert resources from other things. And I'm not in a position to comment about how, you know, what's more important in the Great Lakes. You know, I can tell you about Asian carp.
Yep.
I can't tell you about how that relates to some other totally different aspect that, you know, the congressman has to deal with.
Very, very true. Duane Chapman, research fish biologist with the U.S. Geological Survey, with an update on the status of the movement of Asian carp toward the Great Lakes. Thanks for sharing that with us today and talking with us, Duane.
Thank you.